Thanks. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to jump right in and just go for it, okay? Just because of time, I'm not used to preaching for 45 minutes. I'm just not. And so let's just go for it, okay? Man, I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad I'm getting to be here with you this weekend. Thanks for letting me come this weekend and share the weekend with you. It's been really fun. It's not a sacrifice for me. I'm having the time of my life just living the gospel and preaching the gospel. Amen. I like traveling, passing all through places and being in airports. People sit beside you on planes and we talk, and it's just fun. So I could tell you a lot of stuff about that. But here's the deal. The Lord Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again on the third day. And some of us have only ever been taught it was to forgive our sins and take us to heaven. And that actually isn't even the reason he came. Of course, we're going to go to heaven. And yes, our sins are forgiven, but there's a way higher reason than he came. And I get concerned that everywhere I go across the country, the only revelation we have is that Jesus died to forgive our sins and take us to heaven. So there's no transformation of life. There's no change of attitude. There's no change of motives in life. We're still hurt. We're still anxiety. We're still selfish. We're still proud. We're still frustrated. And we don't understand that those things aren't normal. That's not what we were created to be. We were created in his image. We were created to walk in love. We were created to look like our Father. So Jesus came very simply. Listen, this is amazing. Jesus came to become what we were on that cross so we could die to that and come alive to what he is, a son of the living God. It's a big deal. So I'm just encouraging you today that we're going to preach the gospel real clear. And you might be here. You might have never got born again. You might never been saved. You might never have really just surrendered and submitted. You might just have incorporated him into your life in hopes of a better one. Your marriage might have been a little tight and you came to Jesus hoping grace would come on your marriage and that would get fixed. Come on, that's not why we come to Jesus. He's so merciful. He'll still put grace on your marriage. But he wants us to get back to the Father, get one with him so he can come in us, we come in him, and one plus one is a stronger one. All righty? So he's not here. He's not the fix-it-up guy. He's not here just to make your world better. He's here to transform your life. He's here to get your eye to be in agreement with his so that your motives are pure and the pure in heart can see God. I promise you, this self-centered gospel that we have heard our whole lives, it's a trap, man, and it slowly evolved. I can track it through my whole life. I'm 51, and I can track this self-centered gospel. It's all about me and my blessing, my provision, my breakthrough, and all our energy and all our efforts of prayer and all our emphasis are on God doing something good for us instead of God making us more like him. So when we go to work, it's really hard to be an epistle. It's really hard to shine light. In the marketplace, it's really hard to shine a light if we're worried about being first in line or having the better parking place. It's really hard to be an example of Christ if it's all about me. See, what made Jesus so amazing and why God exalted him and gave him the name above every name isn't just because he's Jesus the Lord. It's because he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, even though he was the Son of God. He made himself of no reputation, was crucified to death, to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. He came in low and gave his life to every man so that every man could have life. Come on, this is a lot more than me going to heaven someday and a bus picking me up when the trumpet blows. It's about heaven coming back inside of me and me being a son again and me being joined back one with the Father. Are you guys following me? So here's the deal. Love's not called to be a mystery. Some of us don't understand how he can love us individually. We look at our lives. We see our mistakes. We know ourselves like no one knows us. And then we say, I can't believe God could love me. I don't know why God would love me. Who's ever had that struggle? Why would God love me? Why would he even want me in heaven anyway? I'll bust up the party. You know, because we don't have a good view of ourselves. We don't have a healthy identity. We have a low esteem. We struggled our whole lives to be appreciated, accepted, and valued. And we've weighed ourselves based on our performance or lack thereof. So how can God love us if that's been the way life's been? Here's the beautiful thing. God doesn't love you for where you've been and what you've done. He loves you for who he created you to be. He loves you for your created value. He loves you for your potential and your destiny. And he knows what you look like when he lives inside of you. Now listen, the world taught you to be selfish. The world taught you to have full of attitudes and prideful and opinionated and whatever and presumptuous and judge yourselves among yourselves. That's not God. The world taught us that. And that makes you so individual, so an island under yourself. That makes you better than others. And John came saying, every mountain is brought down and every valley is lifted up. There is no hot shot and there is no low life. We are all in desperate need of the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus so we can find who we really are and know who we really were created to be, so we can step into life by stepping out of death and all become one in his love. That's the purpose of the cross, church. It's not a thing to argue in a debate. It's a thing to submit yourself to so that grace can come upon you and give you a revelation and show you that life is a gift and life is a joy. And the day that you get free from yourself is the day that you're finally free. You think people are your problem? I used to think if God tweaked you, life would be better. That's what I used to think. I think, man, why don't you just come and shape people up? That's how proud I was and arrogant I was. He wasn't looking to shape people up. He was looking to get a hold of my heart so I could become one with him. He wanted to shape me up. You were never my problem. I'm called to love you, not need you. I'm called to love you, not need you. Because if I need you, I've set you up to fail me and disappoint me. And then when I hear your name, all I can think is how you failed. I'm called to love you, not need you. No wonder there's so much hurt. We put our expectation on everyone else to find ourselves. Our expectation is in the Lord to find ourselves. Do you need me or something? Do I got to stay up here? Thank you, man. You could have told me from back there. It's all right. It don't interrupt the thing, man. My motor's still running. You couldn't stall me out. Thanks, man. You're the best. He's helped me all weekend. I got a cage, don't I? Is this my tape? Is this my tape? Oh, dear Jesus. Shabba, shabba. Okay, I'm in a box. You can't keep God in a box, though. I say, if you think you got God in a box, you ought to peek in there. He's not in there. You might have a box. He ain't in it. He's way bigger than your opinion and your attitude, I promise you. Here's the deal. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any man, that's good news, any man. That means the door's open wide to any man. If anyone, any man, come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. If you don't learn what it means to deny yourself, you'll never be able to pick up your cross. And if you don't pick up your cross, it's impossible to follow Jesus. You can still go to church and you can still sing all the songs. You can still serve in a ministry. But when you get thrown in crisis, you'll react like the man that never went to church. When people do you wrong, you'll respond like the person that says there's no God. And surely the gospel has to be greater than that. Or we just have a confession of faith instead of a transformation of life. And my Bible says the gospel never came in word only, but in a demonstration of power. He said in the last days, it'll be perilous times. Men will walk with the appearance of godliness and deny the power of godliness. And they'll have selfish stuff in their hearts and they won't really love God. And they'll actually loathe things and hate one another and have issues more than they have love. He calls it perilous times. You can fill churches and fit that description. You can have just as much hurt in a church setting as in a setting where no one even believes there's a God. Sometimes when we become Christians, we assume these false rights and we think now it should be this way and that way because we're Christians and we expect more of others because they're Christians and we get more touchy than we before we were saved. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why is that first, church? Because you were never made for you. You were made for the image of God. Let us make man in our... It's Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. And in the image of God, he made man. In the likeness of God, in the image of God, he made man and he blessed man. That's what verse 27 says. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. He repeats it to make sure that we know our created value is his image. And the image of God is love. God is love. So we were created to love, and we all were born into the desperate need of love. Why? Because the day Adam ate the tree is the day who he was created to be died. And he became a God unto himself. And he didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy. And he became just like the enemy himself, self-centered, self-consumed, and full of pride. Come on, every one of us was born into Adam, and you must be born. How we turned that into a prayer to go to heaven, I'll never know. But it's the answer of a brand new life. It's the transformation of motive, heart, nature, and will to where you become one with the Father. This is the good news of the gospel. Because if I don't get free from myself, I'll never be free. If I don't get free from me, how can I ever be free from you? If I wake up in the morning and it's just all about me, if I have a relationship and it's all about what my relation, the person I'm in relationship with can do for me, if I have a relationship with men in ministry and it's all about them just catering to me and serving me and fulfilling my dreams, they're going to fail me. If I'm in a marriage and it's all about my spouse meeting my needs and speaking my language, well, then I've just set them up to fail, and I got my brow raised wondering if they're fulfilling their... And now I have reasons to not be like Christ because they, and now I make them the Lord. And all of a sudden they're my potter and they're fashioning me. And now I have an attitude because, well, you don't know what it's like living with her, and she don't know, and she doesn't. And yet you got Christ on the inside of you, we say. Come on, I know this is strong. You might not have expected this, but this is good news, because the day you get free from you is the day you're finally free and understand the joy of life. And then life's not frustrated and a dread and a struggle, and you don't have to go to bed angry anymore and sit with jealous stuff and judgmental stuff inside your heart and smile on the outside and feel mean on the inside. I'm done living that way. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's called the fall of man. It's called a prideful, hard heart. Come on, if Jesus thought that way for a second, he'd have never came to the earth to die. He'd have just left us die. Hello? If Jesus had that attitude, come on, if the way that seemed right to a man was the way Jesus thought, he'd have never died on a cross. He'd have said, take what you deserve. You made your bed and sleep in it. Instead, he crawled in ours so we could crawl in his. Why? Because he knows what you look like when you understand. He knows what you look like when your heart changes. He knows what you look like when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and you're surrendered. And he knows that you have great destiny, potential, and legacy to write. So he seems to think the death of his son is worth you coming alive. So if you just come to Jesus for what he can do for you, you will greatly misunderstand and misuse this gospel, and your life will be like a roller coaster, and you'll step into God and out of God, and you'll be up and down, and you'll need prayer more than you're a blessing. Come on, I'm being real. Is it okay if I talk just plain? It's all I know how to talk, so I don't know why I'm asking permission. Listen, I went to church till I was 20, and I quit going because I didn't get it. And I was an angry, selfish kid inside. And I heard the gospel my whole life, and all I thought was that Jesus came because I was a sinner. So it just left me a sinner. I thought the way I felt and you felt was just the way it was. I thought just when somebody did you wrong and you getting ticked off and you putting chips on your shoulder, now knock them off and you pop them in the mouth. Come on, I grew up in the city. I knew how to grow up and live in the city. It was just eye for eye. It was just survival. Come on, there has to be more than that. It has to be more than bringing God into that. It's all about change. I didn't want to go to church, man. My heart was so hard. I had no desire. I never flew to San Diego to stand here to talk to you. I didn't care about you. Do you understand I don't have to be here? Do you understand we didn't sign a contract? And I said, Steve, I'm coming if you give me X amount. I told him I could care less if you give me an honorarium. I'm not here for an honorarium. I'm here for the kingdom, and because your lives are worth the blood of Jesus. Come on, I could be home with my family. I could be doing 100 other things, but it's fun to be here. And if you watch me this weekend, you can tell I'm not sacrificing. You can tell I'm having fun. Do you understand? I'm here because I want to be, because our lives are so valuable to the earth in the light of truth. And let's not keep expending our days with a lack of understanding, trying to do good things with a lack of understanding. Just trying to go to church and stay faithful at church is not a Christian. A Christian is walking in love and manifesting the nature of the Father. A Christian is making peace and showing mercy. And everything that God did for you through the Son, you become towards others. It's not about him just taking care of you. It's about him transforming your life. Yeah. This is such good news to me. Because when I was 33, a long period of time to me, I know 33 years is a snap, a wisp, a vapor, but I'll tell you what, that's a long time to live lost. That's a long time to live proud and hard and angry and hypocritical. That's a long time to be plastic and shallow. That's a long time. And when I was 33, he came and he started to give me understanding. He started to show me he didn't die on the cross because I was a sinner. And I went, what? He said, no, look. And he showed me in Matthew where he came to seek that which was lost. And then he took me on this journey through the word and showed me what was lost was my created value. What was lost was my sonship. What was lost was my destiny. When Adam ate the tree, everything man was created to be died, but it didn't die in the vision of God. He knows who he made us to be. He knows our potential. All of a sudden I realized Jesus didn't die on the cross because I'm a sinner. He had to die because I sinned, but he died on the cross because I'm a lost son and he wanted to restore all things back to me. So love isn't a mystery. So it doesn't matter how bad I messed up. That's not who I am. It doesn't matter how bad I talked and how I used his name in vain. It doesn't matter how much I hated you. It matters that I see the truth now, repent to that, die to that, and become a new man by putting off the old and putting on the new. That's the born again experience. Going to church is not Christianity. Having a transformed life is Christianity. Then we gather together to stir ourselves in love and good works and realize we are the church. Yay. You know, this is not the church. This is a meeting house. And it's a blessing. It's a nice one. I walked around. Pastor showed me. You guys are blessed. But you need to realize always that you're the church. And there's a great marriage between coming and going. And the reason you come is to stay excited and celebrate him and stay in the race and stay fixed in why you're alive so that when you leave, you look a little more like him than when you came. Or you'll get trapped in just doing church, and I like Vista, and hey, that's my church, pastor's awesome, hallelujah, Lord. And then in the week, you're like, what? Man, can't you drive, idiot? Or you're reading the newspaper, can you believe these stupid politicians? Instead of, you know, we need God in this country. No, he's in you, and he wants you to manifest him. Hello. And all of a sudden you're weeping and you're saying, Lord, they're in leadership in our country. And just look at that. Look at the, God, would you have mercy on this land? God, that sure beats a hard heart and an attitude and the pride of being right. How does that change anything? It just makes you more cold, you more hard, you more arrogant, and you more right. And then everything stays wrong. Come on, I'm talking plain to you. You have two choices. You can get mad at me or actually hear what I'm saying. You get mad at me, that's your privilege. It doesn't change truth. See, we've learned to just get mad. Why? Because we have so many rights, because we're gods unto ourselves and won't admit it if that's the case. Because if you just get mad and you just have an attitude, that's not how God feels about what I'm saying right now. Boy, I got you good. So see, getting mad is your privilege. I'm not intimidated by that. Look, you can pull out a 44 and just shoot me in the chest right now. You've lost. I've already won. You can't stop the truth. And the church might, that the people that love me are here when I'm saying, oh, that's so shame, I can't believe, oh God. Don't you cry if somebody does something like that to me. You rejoice that I already won. Come on. How are you going to hurt me now that I see the truth? How are you going to stop me and slow down this train? It's rolling. Get in the tracks, get off the tracks and get on the train or get run over. It's like it's rolling. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to pull the air out of the balloon. It's not air in a balloon. You're not going to hurt me and offend me. You're not going to write something on Facebook derogatory and I'm going to lose myself. I go to bed in his peace. I hear his voice every day. His presence is in my life. He's changed my heart to where I see the value of people. I can go through an airport and realize that everyone was created for God's image and he loves everybody around me no matter how they're acting. And all of a sudden you have something to give and offer in every situation. And it's not about, is my flight on time? Oh my God, I'm delayed. I can't believe I got to sit in this airport for 2 more hours. God, where's your grace on my life? I thought you loved me. Hello? Do you know how many Christians think like that? Automatic? And we've just made it all about God being our busboy and our caretaker and our table waiter. No wonder we don't tip him too well. He's a terrible table waiter. Yeah. I hope I'm okay. Man, I just go with where my heart goes, and I'm not trying to hurt nobody. This thing is so big in me and real in me. This thing is about you waking up knowing who you are when your eyes open. So that the day's not a drudgery, a dread, so you're not putting expectations on your spouse and they have the right to break your heart. No, you're waking up to look like him. You're waking up to bear witness of his image. You're not waking up to be right, the need to be right, to argue, to get your way, and to live selfish. You're already surrendered. If you deny yourself, how do we have so many rights? If a man really denies himself, then where do all the rights come in? How do you deny yourself and obtain so many rights? Well, I can't believe they did that. Well, they shouldn't have did that. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, get off my back. Well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't do that. They should, you should be talking to them, not me. Come on, that's normal language. Could you see God in heaven with the 24 hours at a board meeting? I'm just so hurt by the earth. I just can't be my man. I love them continually. I've shown mercy. I've restored marriages. I've healed the sick. I've blessed. And they just keep turning on me. And they just keep it. I just don't know where I'm at anymore. I just don't know. Come on, that sounds so silly when you put it in the mouth of God. It ought to sound silly in your mouth. You're made for his image. Come on, I said it the other day. You know this in California. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If it was apple, it would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get anything but Christ? That should be so weird. Come on, you can't come to church and sing holy in the Lord and just accept animosity in your home and just fight with your spouse or your kids to be right. That is sinful. That has to stop. That has to change. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're teaching ourselves religion. If we live that way at home, you're teaching your kids that going to church is Christianity, not living Christ-like. And then you're upset that they don't want to go to church, but they don't see Christ. I'm just saying. I'm not here to spank you. I'm not here to correct you. But man, if these things come raging up in my heart and are pouring out of my mouth, I didn't even comprehend saying none of this. I just want to preach nice, fun stuff. But you can tell that I'm on cue and I'm passionate and I don't have cue cards. This wasn't my prepared message. This wasn't what I was bringing you. It just rose in my heart when I stood here. So God Almighty, in my heart and understanding, must be wanting to go in some of us. He must be asking, are we willing to really be humble and really repent? Are we really, really willing to overcome and let mercy overcome and triumph over judgment and overcome evil with good? Are we really willing to make peace and show mercy and become love? Or do we have rights? Are we set up for hurt and disappointment? Is it he said, she said, tit for tat? Is it a bunch of rightness? Come on, you look at talk shows on the earth today, it's tragic. They put terrible scenarios up there that need great mercy and great compassion, and all they do is make a spectacle of them and have an audience that judges victim villain. We're not the judge. We're the body of Christ. And we're to walk like him and follow him. Look, we deny ourselves because we were never made for ourselves. I said it yesterday or the other day, you put metal in a microwave, you'll destroy the microwave. It wasn't made for metal. You live for yourself long enough, you'll destroy your life. You weren't made for you. You're not incorporating him into your life. He becomes your life. You're not the CEO of Jesus Incorporated. You're one with him. Come on, I'm not mad at you. I'm saying, man, let's not teach ourselves religion and let's not sit in a beautiful house like this with amazing leadership and grace all over the place, because I'm blessed when I come here. I love what you guys got going. But man, you people and faces I'm looking at here, you are not just people that sit and do church and get, you are so vital and important to this whole plan. Your city, you're so vital to your city. That's not hype, spiritual talk on a Sunday to warm your hearts. You're so critical to your sphere of influence. And if people don't see what you say you have in your life, why would they want what you say you have? You're called to be lights. Let your light so shine. Darkness is never the issue. It's darkness is the absence of light. The only reason there's darkness is because the light's turned down. So let your light so shine. Your light before men. So they see your life and go, wow, there's a God. That's in your Bible. It says, arise, shine, church, the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light, it's on you. Jesus came preaching, repent, the kingdom's here. John the Baptist started it, repent. Peter, on the first day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. There's a reason we're doing baptism today, for anybody that wants to. And I'm telling you, man, you're in San Diego. It's not that cold outside. If your heart's moved today, listen, we can't afford to just let time slip by, because I'm telling you, mercy woke us up today for one reason, to have one more day to look like your Father. And if you misunderstand that and just try to use life as an experience, just get by and just fulfill the day and use people to, and wow, she's awesome. Wow, he's amazing. Wow, he makes me feel secure. Wonder if that changes. Then you're broken and busted up, and now you're messed up for 3 years. Come on, life has to be better than that in the Holy Ghost, because he never changes. And if I draw my identity from him, I can have a healthy relationship. See, it's out of the fullness of God that he brought forth the woman anyway. The woman wasn't even on the scene until God was fully in the man, expressed in the man. The man was naming all the animals, and God said, wow, yeah, let it be so. He never corrected him. Why? Because Adam was flowing in the authority of God. He looked just like his father. And at the time when God saw man looking just like him and flowing just like him, he said, you know, it's not good this fellow be alone. He has no one comparable. Is that because he was lonely, or is that because he had nowhere to multiply? He had nowhere to take the beauty of who he'd become and spread it across the earth. So he didn't make another lump of clay. He reached right inside of the man, the fullness of God, and he reached in and pulled out what was already there, a woman, and he made the one, two, so the two could enjoy being one. So I say this everywhere I go. If there's a woman in a man's life, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in his life. It shouldn't be because of need, loneliness, sex drive. Almost across the board, we come together for all those reasons. Well, I'm not getting any younger. Well, I'd love to have kids. Well, look, I'm 27. It's about time. I thought I'd be married by now. And all of a sudden you sell into something because of time. And all of a sudden you talk yourself in because of needs and vacuums. And to know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll tell you what, when you're filled with the fullness of God, you'll never sell cheap. You'll realize you're already bought. You have nothing to gain. You're already fulfilled. So now you actually have something to give, and the relationship's fueled by love. And it's never, I love you, do you love me? Because that means I love you for me. It's just flat out, I love you. Period.
Oh, now we're doing marriage seminar.
So here's the deal. Jesus said, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. Why are we making a thing about baptism? Because it's Bible. It's amazing truth. Why? Because baptism is burying yourself in the likeness of Jesus' death. Look in Romans 6 if you have a Bible quick. And I'll do this quickly. And
I'm really going to be able to do this, Pastor. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Somebody pray for me.
You don't hear me spanking you, right? Listen, when you hear a fella talking like this, God's never talking like this so you judge where you're not. It's to show you where you're called. He doesn't want you leaving here saying, boy, I got a long way to go. Or, man, I don't even know if I'm barely saved. He wants you to leave here saying, boy, I have somewhere to go. That sure shed light on my life. Because, man, some of these struggles, some of these emotional things, some of these up and downs are just coming from what I'm failing to see. And I'm looking through a wrong eye, and it's producing not good fruit. Man, if God could change the way you see, he can change your whole life. If he can make the eye good, he makes the lamp full of, the body full of light. If you can make the tree good, the fruit's going to be good. It's just all scriptural. That's why we preach like this, guys, to bring understanding. And in all our getting, get understanding, to shine light into dark places. So we go, and in all our getting, we get understanding. The truth comes and makes us free. It's not a miss from heaven. It's not just an altar ministry where pow, bam, pop. And now I'm going to live well and feel good. You're not going to feel good if your mindset doesn't change. You might feel good in a moment of the touch of presence of God. But what about when life confronts you? Hello? You're not coming to an altar. Ministry doesn't make you free. Truth makes you free. Just getting prayer from people all the time doesn't make you free. It actually reveals that there's something you're failing to see. Because if it made you free, you wouldn't get prayer all the time. We're called to be ministers.
You get it?
Romans 6, real quick, we'll do this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, of course not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? See, some of us don't realize that that's what we did when we got born again. We died to sin, its identity, its memory, its regrets, its stain, its sting, and its actions. We said, you know what? I wasn't made for sin. I wasn't made for self. I wasn't made for my own aspirations, my own ingenuity. I wasn't made to live at the expense of people, especially the one I say I love. I was created for God's image, and I'm saying a death to sin, and I'm dying to sin. I'm becoming a Christian. I'm going to get born again. I'm going to put off the old way, the old motive, the old mindset, and I'm going to put on the new. It's love, it's pure, it's holy, and it's Christ. That's the born-again experience, see? He says this, certainly. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Watch, or do you not know? Why am I preaching and shouting like this and intensely preaching? Well, first I'm talking fast because I'm out of time, but the bottom line is this. The reason I'm so passionate and intense is because Paul says, or do you not know? Guess what? Some of us don't know. Some of us think it's normal to just hurt when you're done wrong. Some of us think it's normal to just be angry if they started it. Some of us think it's normal to walk in a room and just sit around and just get first judgments, first assessments and impressions and decide who you like and who you don't. Some of us think that's normal. That's the fall of man. It's called sin at its finest. It's called the pride of life. And we must be born again. Because if God looked at the earth like that, maybe you're not in. Maybe you're one of those that he doesn't draw to. Maybe he found weakness in you. Maybe in his first assessment, he wasn't as attracted to you as he was over here. So he didn't give grace here. He just gave it here. Come on, God doesn't move that way. If any man, why? He sees the created value in every man. He sees the destiny in every man. Yeah, the purpose and potential in every man. No matter how they're acting, and where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Why? Because God knows if they knew who they were, they wouldn't live that way. If they were filled with him, they wouldn't talk that way. If they had understanding, they wouldn't act that way. So he doesn't get offended. He gets moved with compassion because he knows they're in trouble. They're lost. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Sound like Jesus? Yay. Come on. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me. He said, follow me. He said, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross. He said, unless you love less, your spouse, your children, your lands, your houses, and yes, even your own life, you'll by no way and no means be my disciple. A disciple is a wholehearted follower, a disciplined learner, a continuer in the truth. He didn't say, go make confessing Christians. He said, go make disciples. He said, unless you love less, your spouse, your children, your houses, your lands, and yes, even your own life. You by no way. Why? Because one of those things on the list will get in the way. If you're a Christian, for God to do something in that area instead of for God just to be God in all those areas. See, if you're a Christian for your own sake, one of those things on the list will get in the way and keep you from surrendering. And unless God brings back your child, you can't be free. Unless God turns the heart of your spouse, you can't be free. That's idolatry. Are you kidding? Why are you only as strong as the weakness around you when Christ lives inside of you? Come on. It's the wisdom of the world that trained us. We were homeschooled in the wrong home, and it's time to get back home to God. Are you following me? The way that seems right to a man is running rapid in the church, and we have to be careful because we've integrated that wisdom into the knowledge of God, and it's a mixed drink that kills. And then we have a lot of yell buts. Well, you don't understand. Well, you don't know my life. Well, you ain't been through what I've been through. Do you hear what we're doing? We're justifying flesh, assuring that we'll live the same tomorrow. It doesn't mean we're not going to church. We're just not seeing truth. Do you not know? Do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, as we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Here's what happens in a minute in water baptism. I know there's several getting baptized. You're all invited. When we put you under the water, it's symbolic of the grave of Jesus Christ. And when you go under, you're dying in the likeness of his death, dying to sin once for all. When you come up out of the water, I call it the womb of God. When a baby's carried in a woman's womb, the water breaks and a baby comes forth. I'll tell you, when that water breaks, makes a new baby comes forth. Holy Spirit presents it to Papa, says, look, a brand new baby boy. Just as if you've never lived before, as if you've never failed, as if you've never made a mistake, as if you've never sinned, pure and holy, spotless, blameless, above reproach, in the sight of God, day one for your life. It's amazing. We're not praying a prayer to go to heaven. We're stepping into a brand new life. We're putting off the old man and putting on the new. In the days of Noah, God flooded the earth. And Peter, in 1 Peter 3, has a revelation. He says, in the days of Noah, 8 righteous souls were saved through water. He says, we have this antitype, water baptism, which now saves us. Whoa, I thought it was the blood. It is. But watch what the water baptism does. It cleanses your conscience and gives you a good conscience towards God. Now, a lot of people lack that. And then they have a veil over their face. They go to church, but don't have intimacy and relationship. And their prayer life consists of needs instead of communion and the exchange of love. Oh, come on. I know what I'm talking about. So what did God do in the days of Noah? He baptized the earth, guys. He put the earth under the water and all unrighteousness was destroyed. And when the earth submerged and came up out of the water, there was no unrighteousness. And the only thing remaining was 8 righteous souls. That's amazing. And then God said, you know what? I'll never destroy the earth this way again. What's he doing? He's pointing to a baptism that was coming through Christ that would save life, not destroy life. But all unrighteousness would leave and righteousness would remain. So here's the deal. So we're going to raise in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, it's important to know this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin would be done away with, that we should no longer be a slave to sin. For he who has died, not he who has prayed a prayer to go to heaven, he who has died has been freed from sin. Why? Because selfishness is the root of all sin. You can't be angry if you're not self-centered. You can't be discouraged if you're not thinking for yourself. If it's just all about your dream, your desire, your life, sure, you're going to be discouraged. But if you're thinking of others more than yourself and thinking more of others' interests than your own interest, and you're living for the glory and name of God, then you step out of the equation. How can you stop that? No wonder Jesus wasn't discouraged. No wonder he could hang on the cross when men turned on him. And all he ever did was good. All he ever did was heal and restore and bless. Could you imagine the court case he could have had on the day of crucifixion? He could have dropped the cross and said, I'm done. I'm not dying for these people. Bunch of stiff-necked, non-appreciative. I'm God, and I put on flesh and came to this earth. I didn't have to come here. I wanted to come here. I wanted to show them who they really are. I modeled a life they were designed for. I told them to follow me. God, I healed all their sick. I delivered. I did nothing but good. I brought them the truth. And this is what they do to me? This is what they give to me? Come on, God, if they didn't change by now, they're not going to change. Why do we care about them anyway? Just let them rot. Let them die. Who cares? All they care about is themselves. They're no good for nothing anyway. I'm coming back. Could he have talked like that? Could he have been justified? Would he have won the court case? Where did he do wrong? Where was he impure? Where did he mess up? Where did he deserve what he got? But he never said a word, did he? Because he's teaching you and me what that looks like. It's not about self-defense and self-justification and pleading your case and being right. It's about overcoming evil with good and toning down a harsh word with a kind word. It's about becoming love. So love lived before us and showed us what it looked like. And he said, stop being victim, villain, and stop all this court case mentality. Come on, we do it to God, people. We subpoena him in our mind and think he failed, and we stay mad at him for a year. It shows that we're thinking for ourselves and we've incorporated him into our life. He is not a genie in a bottle to answer your wishes. He is a father that made you in his image and wants to transform your life. So I'm late. Oh, God. So look at verse 11. I closed my Bible. Look, the death he died. Look at verse 11. 10, the death he died once for all. The death he died, you don't have it anywhere, do you? I know I'm quoting it right. The death he died once for all, and the life he lives unto, watch, likewise, you reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a sure whole lot more than just waiting to go to heaven someday. So here's the deal. We want to water baptize anybody that's never been water baptized. If you've never been born again, man, what are you waiting for? Because if you're not born again, you're just living for you. It's a lonely world. You're just living for you. Unless a seed dies and falls. Come on, it's more than trying to have a good life. It's having a life that's impacting and reveals the nature of God because you were created for God's image. Come on. It's so true. And if you will just die to yourself, you'll be the freest person ever. So here's what water baptism is. You get in the water and you realize, man, I wasn't made for me. I've been living for me. I've been trying to find my identity through people and others. No wonder I live up and down. No wonder I'm good some days and not the other. And sometimes I live at the expense of people. Man, I'm done with all that. God, I just want to be what you created me. And by simple faith, I want to ask you to come in, consume me, fill me, and make me one with you. And then you go under the water, watch this, and you die to everything you've ever been and ever done and to everything ever done to you. As if that person never lived before. When you come out, it's the newness of life. You're brand new. Spirit of God comes in you, comes upon you, empowers you. God's nature fills you and floods you. And all of a sudden, you become one with him that raised him from the dead. Do you get that? It's called water baptism. Answer of a good conscience, the end of guilt, condemnation, shame, looking back, regrets. Water baptism is very powerful. So we want to invite you. I'm going to have to get a leader up here to show you what we need to do. But here's the deal. If you were never water baptized and you've been a Christian, if you were only water baptized as a little baby or you sprinkled in a ceremony of tradition and your parents had you, there's no bad thing towards your parents. That's a dedication. A believer baptism is simply this. Believing that he's the Son of God, the Savior who died and rose from the dead, and you understand the message that you're giving your life to him, not your heart. And you're understanding that you're becoming one with him and dying to the old to put on the new. And all of a sudden you're saying, you know what? I'm going to get water baptized. The eunuch said, what forbids me water that I be baptized? Philip said, only that you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe. And he got off the chariot and went and baptized. Amen? So it's the first thing they did to every believer all through the book of Acts. It's what we want to do today. So that's the people we want today. You've never been born again. We want you to be bold and say, you know what? I want to surrender. I want to trust God. I want to give my life to God. I want to step into what you're talking about, Dan. And I want to ask the grace of God to come on me and empower me to live a life of love. You might have been a Christian your whole life and never got water baptized. We want to do that today. You might have been baptized when you were a wee little kid and you don't even remember it or know why you had it done. And today you're an adult and you have understanding and you want to apply your faith to what you see. That would be important. So we want to open that up to you. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor because I'm 4 minutes late, but I did way better than I thought I would.